is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead.
We kick off hour number three of Three and Out. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Billy Williford, intern Will, learning the P's and the Q's on the board.
He's doing a great job. Good job, Will.
Appreciate you guys tuning in. If you missed hours one or two, check out the podcast and subscribe on iTunes. This segment's brought to you by Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out. You know, Houston, it's Best Friends Week, and Tennessee basketball's trying to make some best friends. We're going to hit that in just a second. It is, first though, it's Gold's Gym Best Friend Week, and you can hop on over there and check it out. As always, you can download a free 3-day VIP pass. They also have zero enrollment through Friday this week, so that's only a few days away. So if you've been thinking about joining up at Gold's Gym, go to goldsgym.com, find a location nearest you, swing in there, and ask about all the deals they have going on right now through Friday at Gold's Gym. It's the official gym of Three and Out. And now we go to Davey Hudson with today's Gold's Gym Fitness Tip of the Day.
Today's Gold's Gym Fitness Tip of the Day is to trade machine exercises for free weights. You know, machines
best
are built with a specific path the weight has to travel, and one that isn't necessarily designed for you. Let's say you're too tall, you're too short, or your arms or legs aren't exactly the same length.
Might be too fat.
That fixed path won't necessarily match your physiology, and you'll increase the likelihood of injury, and you could develop some weaknesses. So trade your machine exercises for dumbbells and barbells. Build strength in ways more specific to your body, while also working the smaller stabilizing muscles that machines will miss. And that is today's Gold's Gym Fitness Tip of the Day.
That's former 12-week Gold's Gym Challenge winner, Davey Hudson, with the Tip of the Day brought to you by Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out. Best friends, huh?
The weight machine hate is getting out of hand.
Craig Fitzgerald leading the charge.
Best in the world.
Leading the charge.
I think sometimes machines are okay. Like if you're by yourself, you don't have a spotter, it's okay. Crank a few out on the bench machine. Or the squat machine.
That's what I like to do.
Or the leg extension machine.
I will admit I've bench pressed before without a spotter. You just have to go light enough on the weight where you're not really risking any injury. I was always afraid though that you put an amount that you can do easily, but then like your shoulder just like gives out or something, and you end up just
choking
stuck
yourself
over there. Yeah. But yeah, you can. A lot of times you can go with the machine for a lift, and then once the muscles are already fatigued a little bit, and then you can go over and do the same type of lift with dumbbells to get the best of both worlds. So that's all possible. Gold's Gym, they've got machines and lots of free weights, dumbbells as well. It's Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out. You've been wanting a new Tennessee basketball best friend for a while now. You were calling this guy's name from the jump,
yes,
even when it looked like there was no shot.
So well, I believe it was Davey, in fairness, that mentioned he was in the portal.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And then I just did a little stat search. Didn't want to get too invested too quick. Like, you don't want to fall too hard too fast. But I remember thinking, getting in on this. Like, let's at least give it a shot. I think that was my initial thoughts on Kerry Blackshear Jr. Let's at least make a run. Let's see if we can get him interested. No harm in trying. And initially, there was, like, no buzz about it.
There was none.
It's like we didn't really care, or he wasn't really interested. It was just not a good situation. So I kind of wrote it off. But then, well, actually, let me backtrack. Then Grant says he's going to stay in the NBA draft. I'm thinking, well, that probably put us out of the Kerry Blackshear sweepstakes, because you would think if he's going to come here, he wanted to come play with some good players that were established, like returning SEC Player of the Year times two, Grant Williams. So Grant says he's going to stay in the draft. I think we're done. Then we get Uros. Like, immediately, okay, we got our big guy. Then we get Cam Hua. Actually, I think we got Cam Hua first. It just felt like there was no more room for a power forward / center. But then this week, buzz. Tennessee making a run. Tennessee pushing hard. I got a DM over the weekend. Hey, apparently Tennessee's going to push for Kerry Blackshear. The coaches really want him. We should blow it up on Twitter. And then all of a sudden, you saw the tweets, Blackshear to the Hill. Please come visit. Look, you look great in orange already. Why don't you just trade it for a lighter shade? Mm. Rick Barnes makes a push. Yesterday, was it Jeff Goodman All of a sudden, you're seeing some buzz, Tennessee and Gary Blackshear, and now the visit is set up for this weekend. 14th and 15th.
Is that Friday?
Yeah. I guess this is an official. I'm not exactly sure. Apparently, he's going to also visit Kentucky this week, which, I don't know, people who maybe tuned in yesterday heard this, and if you didn't, here's what you missed. Apparently, the Blackshear family, not too fond of the coaching staff at Kentucky. Not sure if they can trust them. Imagine that. Do you see, by the way, Brad Calipari is transferring?
Yeah.
Cal's son?
Yeah.
He's out? No, I don't want to play for my dad. Not a good sign. But Blackshear will be in this weekend. Tennessee going to, forgive the pun, full court press. And, boy, this would really, really change things. I mean, this would be, I mean, you're throwing 17 points a game into the lineup just like that? What was it? Was it 14-9, so 15 points a game?
Evan Daniels tweeted, source, Kerry Blackshear, the top available grad transfer, will take an official visit to Tennessee on June 14th. That's this Friday. Am told that he's also planning to visit Kentucky this week. Says, I don't know if that means, like, tomorrow he's going to be in Lexington, then he's driving down, or, I mean, I guess so. I mean, the week will be over on Saturday, right? So he's either doing Tennessee Friday and Kentucky Saturday, or Kentucky before and then Tennessee on the weekend.
Everything I read made it sound like he's going to visit Kentucky either today or tomorrow and then Tennessee Friday, Saturday.
I'd like that order.
That would be big. How would this change? We talked about grades yesterday. We all kind of gave Rick Barnes a B for the offseason acquisitions, filling the holes left by the departures of, you know, Kyle Alexander, Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield, and maybe surprisingly Jordan Bone. I still am a little worried about the guard spot, but man, that front court's going to be nasty.
It'd be a procrastinating A-minus if he comes through here.
I would take that.
It's like you kind of waited to the last minute. And you kind of, you know, threw some one-year tape on this thing, but the tape's on the back. Can't really see it when you do the presentation, so you're still good.
How do you feel about basketball season right now, and what happens if they get Blackshear? Like how much does he impact your emotion towards Tennessee basketball in 2019-2020?
I think you go from bubble to banner contention.
Like banner?
I mean, yeah.
Which one?
Well, I mean, just...
All
just,
of them.
No, just... You're in that conversation. I don't know that you're a favorite, but you're in the running. I don't feel like they're going to win.
You're talking SEC regular season / tournament?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I'm making sure which banner we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, you know, conference, that's the easiest one to win. If you don't add him, I don't think there's any expectation of winning any championships next year. But if you add him.
Oh, so you're saying with him it becomes an expectation?
No.
No.
I'm just saying there's no expectation, not even in somebody's wildest optimism. Would you have expectation of that without him? But with him, now all of a sudden you're in the
you can hope
four
and not
five
feel crazy.
Teams. Yeah, I mean, hell, LSU won one last year. You're at least in that range, right? You got a puncher's chance. You got a fighting chance. You got some veterans on the team that you hope will help you beat the bad teams on your schedule. I mean, you would hope the veteran leadership and this whole Rick Barnes winning culture that he's now built and he's talking about taking the next level would lead to not dropping a game you should win. And so, and with him, now you've got the horses to go toe-to-toe with some of these better teams.
I go from the 2019 season being a wash, because I've said that, to I'm ready for basketball season to start.
Hype train, let's go. Billy's ready. Buying his Vol Pass or season tickets or something like that.
Both. What about Rick Barnes? Would this make you feel like Rick Barnes just got lucky, or looking at all the acquisitions, if you get Blackshear, do you look at it and say,
if you beat Kentucky at anything in basketball, that's a big check mark. You have to get a lot of credit.
Okay.
If John Calipari wants a player and you out-recruit him in basketball.
So, I'm just making sure, because I think there's probably going to be a lot of people who, let's say they get Blackshear and they're good. I still think there will be quite a few people who say things like, well, if Blackshear hadn't have been available, then what? But I'm with you. I would rather say there are always good players available in the transfer market.
You got to take advantage of your opportunities.
Maybe it was a guard. Maybe it's a true center 1 year or guard the next year. It just happens to be Blackshear this time. The number one transfer available according to anybody who ranks these things. If you get him, I'm going to have a very hard time saying, well, it was lucky he was there. Because like you said, that means you're going to be beating Gonzaga, Michigan State, Florida, Kentucky, Arkansas, Texas A&M, where his coach is now. If you get Kerry Blackshear, it's going to be very hard for me to have one negative thing to say about Rick Barnes in this offseason.
The only potential,
because you can only play the cards you're dealt.
The only potential negative is I'll expect a little more out of Rick Barnes' team, but that's good. That's what he wants.
Right, and I think with the addition of Blackshear, that's why you're getting him, is because you want to raise the win column number, yeah. Right? Like, yeah. I think that's perfectly fair.
This is what a top three paid coach
should
does.
Do. Right.
So,
now, obviously, they don't have him yet. But I'll say this. If they don't get him, I'm not going to say, well, Rick Barnes failed this offseason. I've got it as a B as it is. I mean, let's not forget they're working without an open scholarship right now. Like, they're going to get Blackshear and then have to figure out what to do with their scholarship numbers if it happens.
Well, and you grade the season on the season. So if he doesn't come,
no, sure.
Know, you can grade
I'm just saying offseason grade. Sure. If they don't get Blackshear, I'm not ready to say, oh, we overpaid Rick Barnes. We're so stupid. Because I think he's done a really good job elsewhere. But boy, would this change just about everything. I mean, when Grant Williams announced and when Bone announced and you're looking at what you're bringing in, because at that point, did Cam Hua commit before Grant declared?
I think so.
Okay. At that point, you felt pretty good. But then when those two guys decide to stay in the draft, I think everybody, because Cam Hua may be awesome, we don't know. We haven't seen him. Same thing with Burns. Same thing, obviously, with James. We're waiting on Pulavsic's, you know, appeal. We don't know what happens there. If you get Blackshear, it's like, wait a minute. Because it's hard to put expectations on what you haven't seen, and a lot of the guys that are going to make a really big impact on this team you haven't seen. The good thing about Kerry Blackshear is you've seen him against really good competition, and he balled out. He was spectacular in both matchups against Duke.
Well, that's what I was saying yesterday. You have three starters that you know you can count on the SEC level. And then if Burns is half as good as we think he's going to be, and then, you know, Josiah Jordan James, like I said yesterday, that's a top four SEC lineup in my opinion. You're fighting with Kentucky.
How quickly things change, right? From, oh God, what are we going to do to, yeah, probably got a top four team.
I mean, who else would you put in front of Tennessee if they did add Kerry Blackshear? Kentucky, Florida. I mean, they're right in that.
I don't know that I'd put Florida up there. I mean, I think Florida's good. I don't know that I'd say, yeah, definitely better than Tennessee. Kentucky's Kentucky, like roster wise, probably always going to be quote unquote better if you're just looking at stats and numbers.
I think it's Kentucky, and then just there'll be a handful, maybe not a full handful, but a few teams
Tennessee's
can cycle around. Tennessee's in it.
Yeah. I think at that point, yeah, you go from a tier two SEC team fighting for a chance to make the tournament to a top 15 team in the country, one of the teams battling for the SEC regular season, and, yeah, like probably no lower than a 6th seed. And then if things shake out well, you're as high as like a 2 or a 3 probably. Or, you know, the best team in the country, national champs, whatever.
I mean, that would work too. Always good to win national championships.
I would prefer winning it as to not winning it.
Hour 3 rolls on here on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back to 3 and Out. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Billy Wilford.
Intern Will.
We were talking about the SEC in basketball next year. I don't know how good Auburn's going to be. LSU lost like their whole team.
Auburn lost a lot, but I think their recruiting class is pretty good. Surprising.
Yep, and then Florida.
They got the infrastructure.
Recruited really well, yeah. Got the money. Auburn beat North Carolina yesterday in a football game 14-7. Did you see that?
Low-scoring defensive affair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just kidding. That was a super regional. We got to quit losing to Auburn in the SEC tournament because then they get hot. I don't know. I guess it's fine. You see the SEC going to have four teams in the College World Series, ties a record.
Why does Auburn do this? Why is it that Auburn just beats Tennessee and then gets hot as a pistol?
Well, I'm ready for us to have, and maybe if we get Blackshear, maybe it could happen next year. I'm ready for us to have that surprise run to, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
a non-seeded team so in the final eight.
We're talking about, like, fan emotion here.
Yeah, I'd like nice surprise season.
Yes, I would. I prefer being the underdog who's way better than anybody thought. As
last
opposed
basketball season, I guess, was kind of like that. Yeah. Not this year, but the year before.
Yes, yes. But last year, you expect it to be good, and so you're kind of just waiting for the wheels to fall off at some point. Like, you're waiting to be disappointed. But when the expectations are low and you're the surprise team, like Auburn getting to the Final Four, I mean, they were probably disappointed in the way they lost. But when you 10,000-foot view the season, Auburn fans are like, wow, that team made a Final Four. That team was dog in the middle of the year.
Yeah.
And then they hit their stride and got hot.
South Carolina team did that.
Made the Final Four, yeah.
I mean, they have nothing.
Those runs are very, very fun. It was like 2016. You thought Tennessee was going to be really good in football. They were. Then the wheels came off. You're kind of waiting to be disappointed, like, oh my gosh, this is so fun. Can we sustain this? I'm going to be disappointed when it happens, but it's going to happen. It's different when you're the underdog, unexpected, out of nowhere team. Auburn did that in basketball. They got hot as a pistol in the SEC tournament, won it playing the extra game. And then they made a run to the Final Four in basketball. They knocked down some really good teams on their way there. They blasted North Carolina, hit 17 threes. That's fun. And then yesterday, North Carolina, seeking some revenge, gives up 13 runs to start the game in the top of the first, and it was over.
The first inning?
First inning.
13 runs.
13 runs.
How is that even possible?
I don't know. They only had like 8 hits. Did you see that?
Uh-uh. 13 runs.
4 pitchers for North Carolina in the first inning.
Good grief.
Yes.
I mean, Auburn only won 14-7. Like, if you could have stopped the bleeding at 4, 5, 6, 8, 0, you probably had a great chance.
Completely different game.
Yeah.
In case you've missed it, half of your College World Series are teams from the SEC.
3 out of 4 are in bracket 2. Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, and Auburn are all together with Louisville. So you're probably going to have an SEC team. Vanderbilt will be the favorite to come out of that bracket to play in the finals. And then you've got Texas Tech, Michigan, Arkansas, and Florida State. And the other, it's a Tony Vitello matchup Saturday at 6, okay. Arkansas versus Florida State.
That's enough. That's enough. Okay. 4 teams in the College World Series ties the record for any conference. 295-plus teams. 8 make the World Series. 4 are from the SEC. This is exactly why I said Tennessee a lock to make the NCAA tournament, and the SEC just a damn fine conference in baseball this year.
Who are
the 4 SEC teams, though? Vanderbilt, Auburn, Arkansas, and
Mississippi State.
Mississippi State.
Yeah. I have paid a little more attention. I didn't think I would, but I've paid a little more attention to college baseball even after Tennessee was eliminated, because it does feel like it's a sport we should pay attention to now, because next year, you know, we'll have some expectations and hopefully be able to do some good things in conference again. But it's absolutely loaded. Arkansas is, you know, by itself in bracket 1, the only SEC team, but they might be the hottest one. I mean, they eliminated Ole Miss yesterday. I think it was like 14-1. Like, that Arkansas lineup is just death.
Yeah, they're good. When they're on, they're on. And it's scary.
They'll open with Florida State on Saturday, as the Seminoles were one of the last 4 in and have made it all the way to Omaha in Mike Martin's final season there. Texas Tech opens with Michigan to start the tournament on Saturday at 1. And then Vanderbilt and Louisville are the first game on Sunday, followed by Mississippi State and Auburn. So, I don't know. You want to peek over at the College World Series, kind of get a little college baseball, and then hopefully, you know, Tennessee will have another good year next year and be fighting for one of these spots, you know, in the near future. That'd be fun.
As long as we keep our coach.
Right, right. That's
a key element here.
Should they get that extension done before Florida State loses?
Yes.
Just
it should have been done on the bus ride back from Hoover.
Do you worry every day that it's not done?
And then it should have been done again on the bus ride back from Chapel Hill.
I mean, Florida State doesn't play till Saturday, so I guess if it could get done this week, and we'd be good.
Haven't heard much about it. Haven't heard that, oh, they're in negotiations or talks or anything. You're just kind of waiting on the announcement we locked in Tony V.
Play out this hypothetical. If you're Tony V, do you go ahead and sign an extension either way and like then still talk to Florida State?
Sure.
Or are you waiting for Florida State to make a really nice offer so then you can go to Philip Fulmer and be like, hey, you know, I really want to be here. I need you to kind of at least get close to this or
I think
whatever.
You take whichever one comes first and use it as leverage for the other. Because even you said it, you can sign the extension here and still talk to Florida State. But if Phil's smart, he'll make that really difficult for Florida State to do that, you know, with the buyout and the structure and the money. But I don't know, like baseball, and I'm just being transparent here, Tennessee baseball, it's one of those things that I want it to be good, but I will care about it when it is good. Like, I always care enough to want it to be good. If it's a Tennessee team, I want them to win every game they play. But if they're not good, I'm not over here, like, crying about it. But when they're good, and we haven't been in a while, I'm going to follow it. And now that you've got a guy who, in year two, did what Tony Vitello did this year, it just seems that, that's your whole job as an athletic director. That's your whole job as an athletic entity. When you get something that is good, you need to keep it and hold on to it as long as you possibly can. Fulmer has, so far, in limited time, done that. Rick Barnes has done things in 4 years that I don't think many people thought was possible. Did we pay too much for him? The argument is there, but we didn't lose one of our best coaches of all time because Fulmer locked him down. Tony Vitello is easily the best coach we've had in the last 14 years. So why would you not go ahead and just say, cause, I mean, we don't look at this Tennessee team this year and say, oh, Tony V got lucky. I mean, this was a team that was just not good for the past couple, 2-3 years. And he took those same players and got 6 of them drafted. Guys who weren't really even being thought of or talked about. He got 6 of them drafted, 4 in the top 9 rounds, the most since 2005. So I think his player development, and we know he can recruit, so you feel good about this continuing. In-game, I thought he was good. I like the way he stands up for his players. Like, he checks all the boxes. I don't know why you wouldn't lock him down. Like, as an athletic director, if you can, you should. So the question is, does Philip Fulmer care about baseball? The way he talked about the baseball team, it was funny. I was watching the Orange and White game. It was on SEC Network 2 days ago. And in the press box, when he's talking to Dave Neal, Philip Fulmer mentions, hey, our baseball team is pretty good. I think that at that point they were in the middle of their hot start. He said, We got a coach over there who knows what he's doing. I'm really proud of Tony Vitello and the job he's doing. We're excited about baseball. If you're truly excited about baseball, and I realize it's not a big moneymaker, but it can be less of a hit if they're successful. It can be less red numbers, smaller red numbers for baseball.
Yep.
And I think if you're Philip Fulmer, you know, obviously you weigh the balances here, but if paying him an extra $200,000-$300,000 means over the next 10 years you're gonna make an extra $500,000, I think it's a pretty safe gamble. Not to mention, and I don't know what the numbers would bear out on this, but with alcohol sales being passed, I would say attendance for SEC baseball will jump, but especially at a place like Tennessee, where all of a sudden you're getting good at baseball and now people can go to the park and have a beer and a hot dog, that makes those games much more attractive because they're easier to get to, they're cheaper than the Smokies, and now it can be basically the same experience for a team that you have a vested interest in if you're a Tennessee fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would be wise to make sure that baseball is at least as good as they can be, and right now they're as good as they've been in the last decade and a half. You need to lock down Tony Vitello.
We'll come back with more. Stick with us right here as we roll on hour number 3 of 3 and Out. Welcome back to Fox Sports Knoxville, WKGN AM 1340 FM, 105.7, streaming, periscoping, Facebooking. We got you covered, and we appreciate it, however you're listening and tuning in here to Fan Run Radio. Billy, you, I hadn't even seen this article. Good catch by you. Mike Wilson of the New Sentinel opens.
Mike Wilson does a good job.
He's come on the show before.
He's good.
Tony Vitello has a dream stadium in mind for Tennessee baseball.
Dream stadium. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Get to the details of the article. Come on.
Vitello said on Thursday last week, talks are coming for us to improve the program. I just want to focus on what I can do to get us better. This was exciting, but we need to feed off it. We don't need to sit on it. He's asked about getting an extension. What's next for Tennessee baseball? An extension would make sense and please us, said Vitello.
Us.
Who is
He's single without children.
So who's the us? The whole staff?
Coaching staff.
Got the staff.
Yeah. Gonna take care of the team.
And his girlfriend.
I was going to say, he's got to have a girlfriend.
You think?
Yeah. I mean, or girlfriends.
That's what I was.
Or maybe he's talking about him and his agent. Maybe his agent's his girlfriend. Keep it in the family, you know?
Who is slated to make $500,000 before incentives next season. It is not anything I will demand.
Probably the wise thing to say. You don't want to move too hard too fast.
Is he demanding renovations over the extension?
You say that as a joke, but like he's a big recruiting guy.
He is.
And he probably does think, if he's thinking long term, and let's hope he is, the way he talks about the future of Tennessee baseball makes you think he kind of wants to be that CEO coach in regards to, and in my opinion, he's already proven he can coach. So I don't think this is a Butch Jones scenario of put the nice house of cards up and then we'll just worry about the guts later. I think in his mind, if, you know, Fulmer said you can have a $500,000 raise or I'll give you $200,000 and we'll use $300,000 for the next 3 years to improve your facilities. My guess is Tony Vitello would probably say, I'll take the $200,000 and let's use the $300,000 year on facilities.
Well, to your point, he knows he can coach. So if recruiting's the issue.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think he knows that if I get the players in here, everything will take care of itself in the long run. I would much rather, because let's say he gets, and I'm using hypothetical numbers here, but let's say Fulmer says $500,000. You can have $500,000 a year. We'll put you at, you know, $900,000 or $1 million, whatever that number is, or we can use some of that money over the next 3, 4, 5 years on the stadium, the locker room, weight room, all of that stuff. I think Tony Vitello is saying, I want to be here. I know I can coach these guys. I need to get them in quicker and do this faster. And if we do that, the money will take care of itself. And instead of, you know, 5 years, I'm fired at the end of it, I think we can probably be at a point where we're renegotiating in 3 years and I get the money I wanted long term and my facilities, locker room, and stadium are all up to par. Because at that point, my guess is Tony Vitello is thinking, I'm going to be getting the players. We're going to be in the NCAA tournament. We're going to be winning games. We're going to be drawing crowds to the park. Fix my stuff. Give me selling points. I thought his comment on the locker room was really interesting. What did he say? Cold and dark?
Yeah, let me get to this first. The administration has been great. They have sat down with us in recent days. It has been a while since they got to sit and watch a regional and notice some things going on. We talked facility stuff. They want this program to move forward just as much as we do.
He said the locker room was cold and lacks character.
Basketball just got their locker room renovated. I believe before last season, maybe 2 seasons ago. The basketball offices were renovated 5 or 6 years ago. Obviously, basketball got Pratt Pavilion built in 2006. The arena got renovated around that time. Baseball hasn't really had that much going on as far as, like, you know, sweeping upgrades.
The Vols have updated the clubhouse and weight room, getting the ball rolling on the, quote, lots of little things that Vitello sees next. His dream stadium is, quote, on paper at this point, and UT may involve an architect to draw up renderings of Vitello's vision. Quote, we don't need extravagant, Vitello said, but we do want everything to look nice and tidy. We want the park to play warm, and if you are an opposing team, everything is on top of you. Vitello would like to see the aesthetics of Tennessee's locker room improved after it was expanded last offseason.
Read that part about the stadium again. on top of
we
you?
Don't need extravagant, but we do want everything to look nice and tidy. We want the park to play warm. And if you are an opposing team, everything is on top of you.
Interesting. That's really funny that they're going to hire an architect to like render out his idea just so he can like have it. I feel like that would be a very powerful thing if you're Tony Vitello.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or just anybody. Like, hey, we're going to hire an architect for you. We're not going to build you your dream house, but we'll draw it and you can always look at it. And then we're going to try to take what we currently have and upgrade it. But you'll always have the drawing of your dream house. It's like, oh, okay.
South Carolina did this for Ray Tanner.
It's smart. It's like putting your goals on paper. Like you always have it, so you kind of feel good when you look at it, and then you slowly.
I can't remember
work towards it.
If they built the park before or after they won back to back national championships, and finished runner up the next year, so 3 straight years they played for the title,
and he got his new stadium.
I think they might have built it. They might have built it in between the two.
Interesting.
Or they might have built it before. It could have been the catalyst to, you know, put them over the top. I'll look that up. That might be the new thing with baseball. You want to keep your coach? It's not about the straight dollars and cents. It's, no, this is kind of your place. I mean, you talk about ownership.
Well, no.
Right?
I think a lot of schools are kind of moving more in that direction. Like, especially when you get a coach who really wants to be there. I feel like Clemson's given Dabo the key, right? Like, hey, this is yours. Do what you want. Like, you didn't – whatever you inherited is fine, but put your stamp on this. Like, Nick Saban can do whatever he wants at Alabama. There are other coaches at other universities. It's a similar situation. I feel like with Tennessee baseball and with maybe baseball in general, like, if I'm Philip Fulmer and I've got a guy like Tony Vitello – based on what he's done in 2 years, I mean, this could all crumble in 2 or 3 more. But why not? Like, it's baseball. Like, it's never going to be a huge drain on your financial budget, on your athletic budget, and it's never going to be this amazing moneymaker. But if it can be something that can – and again, I don't know what the numbers look like, but if with beer sales and a good team, if you can turn a profit, why would you not just say, dude, yeah, like, here's the numbers. You make all the decisions in the meantime. Let's get this thing right. That's what they did with Craig Fitzgerald in the weight room, right? Hey, what do you want? Make this weight room, this training facility yours. Whatever you want, we're going to do it. I want all these machines gone. I want free weights, and I want cushioned floors. Done.
South Carolina opened their new baseball stadium in 2009. They won back-to-back championships in 10, 11, and finished runner-up in 12. It matters. You know, like... the facilities don't matter, people. It matters.
It absolutely matters.
And obviously, they had a coach that had proven he was really good before that. That'd be a nice next 20 years for Tennessee baseball.
I do wonder what the long-term plan is for facilities.
It's also on the river, so there's that.
What, the stadium?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, I've heard this for many, many years. I mean, since I was in college.
It, like, backs up to the river, and you see the city skyline out past the field.
What? Where is that?
In Columbia.
Oh, in Columbia. I'm sorry.
So
I thought you were talking about Tony Vitello's dream stadium.
No, at Tennessee, I think if you put it over where you're talking about, you could actually
front the river and
see the skyline, too.
I've heard that, or at least you can see a lot of the campus. I've heard that the Cherokee Farms area, the ag campus right across the Alcoa Highway Bridge before you get to UT Medical. I've heard that is the long-term plan for potential baseball, softball, soccer stadium.
There's also the Randy Boyd going to combine the Smokies and Tennessee baseball.
I've heard that
either
too.
Either in the old city or on the river on the other.
Right. I've heard that also.
But,
it sounds like a long way away. That, exactly. But that would be interesting. It is weird that you have all this riverfront, and frankly, they have land with grass on it. Like, no buildings, no parking lots. I mean, some, but for the most part, it's just pasture, and you don't utilize it a little more. Like, Neyland Stadium, brilliant. Thompson Bowling, right there on the river. It makes sense. Now, granted, from your seat at either venue, you can't see the river, but I feel like a baseball stadium that opened up with a view of the river and a cityscape or the mountains, frankly, would be pretty awesome. Like, you got the opportunity, and they didn't really go for it. But so in the meantime, though, like, is the plan to build up Lindsey Nelson Stadium where it sits? Because that's what they did to Neyland. And it made sense. Obviously, you're not going to just rebuild a football stadium on the other side of the river. Like, that's where it is. That's where it goes. They just did the brick on the outside. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Like, Gate 23 and around the west side. And it looks great. It made it look like a college football stadium. But is that the plan for Lindsey Nelson to just...
Vitalis
facade the outside.
He rattled off, quote, some really cool ideas that he has for Tennessee's baseball facility. He sees the left field area, which has porches for fans to grill and watch the game, as a big opportunity to enhance and, quote, outfield experience. We want to put the porches on steroids out there, Vitalis said.
Beer!
That left field area is a rough draft or a blank canvas that we could do a lot of things with. He also wants to change the press box, which sits high above home plate. He said it feels like it's, quote, almost an outer space and is so offset from the facility that it does not enclose the stadium. When I get back in town, there will be a lot of things that need to get done in Knoxville. He was out recruiting.
My man.
During this conversation. For now, players are the most important thing. So he was out getting them players, getting the recruits going, and weighing in on some...
You want to see my stadium? I got it in my bag. That's what it's going to look like in my dreams. What if Fulmer's just lying to him? Like, yeah, man, just sign the extension. We'll get you everything you want. Gotcha! You want a new stadium? I don't think so. No? Not until Pruitt wins an SEC championship.
Football is the priority. I guess we'll see. Final segment of Three and Out. Didn't even get to all of our stuff on the rundown, so lots for tomorrow as well. Appreciate you tuning in and starting your day with us right here on Fan Run Radio. Steven says the longer the baseball deal drags on, it's obvious that the hang-up with Coach V is that they don't know what they're going to do with the stadium because it's complicated and how it'll be funded. Then he said, or he's waiting on Florida State. I think the former is probably the most likely scenario there. Like, I don't think he's like the top of the hot board or anything for Florida State. He's probably on the list as who are some.
I liked it better when you backed off of it.
If these guys aren't, you know, he's on the list as okay. We got these guys who we're familiar with. We know what they're about. Oh, and by the way, who are some of the other just hot new guys? You know, oh, well, there's this guy down in Tennessee. He had a great year. He's turning them around. Okay, we'll throw him on there. So hopefully, I think this Florida State run is actually really good news for us. Because, I mean, if Mike Martin Sr. wins the Natty, don't you have to hire Mike Martin Jr. at that point? Just keep it rolling?
Probably. At that point, you...
What a way to go out. Have all these great teams. Top 10 teams for like 40 years. And then your team that barely makes the tournament just win the national championship. Might as well. They went to LSU and won. I do think that stadium decision is difficult, though. We looked up the turf costs and the break, $1.25 million. So you just put $1 million into your facility. You're not going to tear it down like next year.
That's my question. Is like, what's the timeline, and then what's the plan in the meantime?
It seems like there's kind of like renovate, and then at some point, okay, stop the renovations because we got to tear down and rebuild.
Well, that's my question. Like, based on whatever Tony Vitello wants, is it a location thing? Or is it a aesthetic thing? Mm. Like, because frankly, there's not much as far as bricks and mortar that goes into Lindsey Nelson. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like tearing down Neyland Stadium. So could you just demo what you have, keep the field where it is, and then start from scratch?
I mean,
build around the current field placement. I think you could.
What do you think it means about warm?
I don't know. Maybe like colors.
You know how you watch Moneyball and the Oakland offices feel kind of dark, cold, and
yeah. I mean,
I think
you know it when you see it, but yeah. I haven't been to a baseball game in quite some time. I don't recall being there and thinking, ugh. But I also haven't been to other stadiums in the SEC where maybe you go and it's like, oh, yeah, this place is awesome.
Yeah,
I
mean, the bleacher seats down the sides are like, really? Like, yeah. This feels kind of...
Well,
kinda,
and some other SEC venues kind of have their thing, like the... what do they call that place at Mississippi State? It's like famous. It might just be their outfield seating. I mean, it really is like a party. I've been to Ole Miss's stadium. It's a nice stadium. Vanderbilt's is not. I mean, it's Vanderbilt.
Left field loft?
That's it, the loft.
Mississippi State?
Yeah, the loft.
It's pretty cool.
That's like a... Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a cult thing. And they love... I mean, it's Starkville. There's not much to do, so they do a pretty good job when it comes to baseball attendance.
Tennessee has those, like, those luxury boxes, but they do feel kind of like they're way away from the action. And the press box is kind of like that, too. It's like it's just way up high.
So, weekly, this is only through the first half of the season for SEC series only. But for, I'm assuming this is for three series, Tennessee was only averaging 7,000 fans a series at Lindsey Nelson. For example, week one, and it doesn't list the opponents, although I could probably put that together. Okay, so Missouri played at Arkansas week one. Arkansas's attendance for that week, 26,952. In week two, South Carolina played at Tennessee. Tennessee's weekly attendance, 6,387. So you are 20,000 tickets behind Arkansas in a one-week sample size. LSU led the conference. Again, this is just through the first half of the season. They had two home series. They averaged 31,978 a week. 31,000. Tennessee averaged 7,000. So if I'm looking at some of these other numbers, I mean, give me the top five teams in the SEC this year. Arkansas was up there, 27,000. LSU was up there, 31,000. Mississippi State, 31,000.
Vanderbilt.
It's a smaller stadium, so they only had 10. I think Vanderbilt Stadium is like tiny.
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, 27,000. I think Tennessee's baseball attendance next year takes a huge jump. I think the fact that they're expected to be better and obviously alcohol sales, I think all these numbers will go up except for places where it just can't because they're already getting close to capacity. But I do think it's a nice time for Tennessee baseball to get a coach as the attraction gets a little better with alcohol sales. And I think it's a good time. I mean, this is the time you want to do it. You want to start making this decision now. If you think you've got a long-term coach and you know that alcohol sales are coming in, This is when you would want to make your park more inviting to any and everybody. Now, whether that means you renovate, update, you know, concessions and bathrooms and the exterior, that's fine. Or maybe you do look at investing in a brand new park.
Yep.
But that's above my pay grade.
A lot of those numbers are sellouts, too. I mean, like, LSU's only holds 7,700 people. So three games on the weekend, you're at 21,000. The midweek game gets you to those numbers.
Yep.
I mean, that's a lot of people coming through. And, of course, Tennessee not nearly there. Hopefully on their way, though. We're on our way to the end of the show and the Blitz, which is next right here on Fan Run Radio.